I mean, I think as we enter the end days, we may go through that kind of suffering. And what he says, if we endure that, if we don't give up, if we hang in there and believe Christ, and if we move into that greater place in God, we'll be glorified with him. We've had it easy in America. We get to enjoy being glorified with him without much suffering. But that may not always be the situation. And we want to be strong in who we are in Christ, that whatever comes, we know that it's worth what we have in God. And so we'll be glorified in heaven. I believe we can bring heaven here. And we have to get to such a place where what we have in God is so awesome that it doesn't matter what it costs us. Okay, verse 19, Romans 8, 19. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly awaits the revelation of the sons of God. In other words, the whole world is sitting around going, when are we going to get free from the bondage that happened at the fall? Because animals used to talk and, you know, all kinds of things happened before the fall that I don't totally understand. But it says everything waits for the time to see this awesome restoration of the sons of God. He's talking about the end days. For the creation was not willingly subjected to vanity, but through him subjected it on hope, that also the creation will be freed from the slavery of corruption to the freedom of the glory of the children of God. There's coming this awesome, awesome deliverance. And it's going to come first to those who know God. In following that, all creation knows, following the return of Christ, following his children being seen and the glory of God being seen on the planet again, following that, Christ himself is going to come and rule and reign on this planet, and everything will be restored to its true glory. Won't that be awesome? We don't even have a clue what that's going to be like. We don't know. But we are part, we're at least getting close to being part, if we are, our children certainly are, of these sons and daughters who have to be revealed first. We're going to be revealed before he returns. That's why we're here for inner healing deliverance. That's why we're not satisfied anymore with church as usual. I'm not judging how God's allowed things to go. That's his business. But now there's a stirring in the spirit. Now there's a people who aren't satisfied anymore with living an okay Christian life. Now you have a people who want God and they want to be like God and they want to do the exploits he has for them to do. And all of a sudden they're letting go of greed. They're letting go of everything of the enemy, which remind me, we'll give away the greed tape series when we take up the offering in a minute. But do you see what I'm saying? It's exciting. Don't think we're better than other generations. It's his timing. He's restoring the church. He's bringing back the gifts. That's why we have these conferences. We have to truly see a true prophetic, a powerful prophetic move of God. We can't have a pathetic prophetic that just talks about bless me clubs and tells pastors how great they are and everyone's told how wonderful they are. I mean, if we're all as wonderful as we keep getting told, we all should be raptured by now. We should at least see a few dead people raised. So it's going to come a prophetic that's going to clean things up. Okay, so all creation is waiting to be freed from corruption to the freedom of the glory of the children of God. Verse 22, for we know that all the creation groans together and travails together until now. And not only so, but also we ourselves, having the first fruit of the Spirit, also we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly expecting adoption, the redemption of our body. So there comes with a true born-again believer who's got the Spirit of God in them, there comes a change of thought, there comes a change of expression, there comes this, there should come in your life, and we talk about this much more on Freedom Fridays and Tuesdays, but there should come a place in your life where it's all about God and wanting more God. And if you've never gotten to that place where you're so hungry for God, you want to die. Then you haven't yet really gotten hungry for God. If there hasn't come a time in your prayer closet where he's all you can think about and you'll do anything for him and there's groaning within you, it's like, God, you can't even hardly stand it. And there's going to be awesome fruit from that. There's a lot of people, and I just say this because sometimes there is so much of a religious spirit in the charismatic church that acts as if they go into the Holy Holies and they don't know what the Holy Holies is. They come out and their whole households are a mess and nobody wants anything that they have. And when they speak, it's to puff themselves up. It has nothing to do with the surrender to Christ. And so we've basically allowed people to act spiritual when there's no fruit. And we've allowed them to fool people because they say all the right words and read all the right books. The scripture talks about the silly women who run from conference to conference and conference and they never change. Don't be one of those. Look at your real life. Look at what you really have. And really, and I need you to know this, because some of you got religious spirits. And you're always shaking your head yes in agreement when I preach this deep stuff. And I know that I know you don't have a clue what I'm talking about. And the first thing you've got to know is you don't have a clue. You can't have something that you think you've already had. If you really groaned and moaned and longed for God like that, your houses would be in order. You can't sit in that kind of presence of God and have your entire family totally messed up. You've got to repent for sitting in the presence of the demonic that fed something in you but produced no fruit. This is one of the biggest problems, I think, in the charismatic church. And when Christ comes to separate the weeds from the tares, I don't want you being thrown into the fire or into the trials or missing it because you won't get real about what you don't have. You can't have both. You need to understand where you really are in Christ. You need to really understand what's been real in your life and what isn't. Because God is faithful even when we're not. So there is a working of the Holy Spirit in us, even when we're totally messed up, praise God, because he's going to keep working and working and working. But before we can be these sons, before we can be these people who know our God, that the whole world's waiting to see revealed, we've got to get real with where we are. And I'm telling you, not many of you have tasted of these things. And yet sometimes I look and you look like you know what I'm talking about. And I know you don't. I'm not trying to act anybody superior. I want you to get hungry for the real. I want the counterfeit not to satisfy. I want the experiences that had no fruitfulness to be renounced so you can enter into something real.